Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us, and thank you to the PSEA and the United Steelworkers for supporting the show.
And also, guys, don't forget, check us out online, www.theunionedge.com. You can find, podcasts and the live stream if you've ever missed it, or you can take us on the go. And coming up here quickly, if you guys want to stay tuned, we also have some really cool stuff coming up on our plate as far as a Patreon. It's a cool thing. We're going to have some exclusive content on it, so you guys can definitely, check out some cool content. We'll be bringing you some extra special stuff, so keep an eye out for that, guys. It's going to be cool, let me tell you.
It will be. And joining us right now, we have Buck Gino from Work in Progress Radio. Welcome back, Buck.
Great to be with you, ladies. Sounds like you're having fun today.
We are.
We're a little extra feisty. This has been a very interesting news day.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, it just doesn't quit, does it?
No, it does not.
I was thinking about you guys the other day. I was paying attention because usually what I'm doing is I'm talking about some of the U.S. congressmen and senators and things like that in my neck of the woods, but my one thing that caught my eye was over in your neck of the woods with this gentleman who basically was a big abortion, a pro-life guy. And correct me if I'm wrong, did he not have an affair or something, and his girlfriend got pregnant, and he decided to then abortion was okay?
Yeah, so some backstory in that. Representative Tim Murphy of Pennsylvania's 18th District, which anybody who's in the Western PA area has an idea of where that is because of their three big districts for the most part over here. We've got the 14th, the 12th, and the 18th, and he's in the 18th, kind of south of us here in Pittsburgh and over a little bit to the right. And it was kind of funny because of, he's not only is he, because he's in a very heavy Republican district, so therefore, by default, he's kind of pigeonholed into this pro-life stance, but it also, at the same time, this extra kicker here that I don't know if you realized, he's also a member of the House's pro-life caucus, who just co-sponsored a bill and voted in approval of it on Tuesday that banned abortion after 20 weeks of fetal development. That being said, apparently, Mr. eight-term sitting congressman had an affair with someone who was like twice his age, and in January,
half probably,
or half his age. Yeah. Sorry,
half his age.
Half
okay.
his age. Yeah, so let's get that right. Half his age. And it was kind of funny because it just come out, and the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette kind of broke this, and everybody else has taken it and ran with it. They somehow obtained text messages, and it was verified. It was his phone number, and their conversation back in end of January was basically there was a situation where she thought she was pregnant, and it ended up being she was not. We found out now, but at that time, apparently she thought she was pregnant, and he told her to consider getting an abortion. To which she basically responded with, you have zero issue posting, pro-life stances all over the place, and this is your position, but then you turn around and tell me to go get an abortion because I'm your mistress and I'm, possibly having your child. And his response was that, I didn't write those statements, my staff did, I just, winced and read them. That was his stance. So that right there...
Winced and read them.
I'm literally reading this, and that is a direct quote. And if anybody's curious... This particular source is the Washington Post. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is the first one that reported it. And if you Google it, it is all over the internet right now. But that also being said, that leads to not only the issue of just being a complete hypocrite, but what also probably makes me more angry than the fact that that even happened in the first place is the fact that you as a congressman just blatantly admitted publicly that you are not representing what you say. You are not standing behind what you say. And you have just outed, the stance of your constituents that you supposedly stand up for and represent the issue, the thoughts of. I mean, I myself am not agreeing with his stance. But at the same time, like that right there, there are a number of people who feel that they are pro-life in his district. That is a big thing for those people. It's a huge shocking point for those people. And he just blatantly admitted in this message to his mistress, which also would not sit well with the people of his district, that his staff writes his statements and he just reads them and that's all. It's not what he necessarily believes.
So he basically just admitted that he doesn't actually believe in anything.
Yeah, that is probably not even is this a very comic, unfortunate situation. It's kind of like karma, actually. So karma not only came and bit him for this whole stance in the first place, but also the fact that it just outed him as not even representing the actual concerns of the people in his district. I'm not saying that I advocate for what this was, because I don't agree with his stance on this, or actually, in a twist of way, I guess I kind of do agree with his stance on this. but that being said, whole thing is just, it's so much bigger than the fact that he had an affair and told her to get an abortion. There are so many more issues about his stance on representing the people of his district that go beyond that he outed himself on by accident, which I think is what really has in circle here led to him resigning from Congress.
Well, you know, it's that old story, right? Don't do what I do what I say.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what? And that's always been a common thread sometimes through conservatism is, you know, whether it's abortion or gun rights or anything like that, it's always that, you know, and the sad part about that is that I would guess he's not the only one. He's just the only one that basically got caught in the deal.
Yeah, and that is exactly actually my next lead in here is the fact that, you know, he's the first one who's essentially gotten caught. But how many other people are just repeating these talking points for what they are told to say for what is supposed to be their side on their position when it's not actually what you represent and it's not actually what you believe? And the fact that you're kind of creating this cycle of you repeat these talking points to the constituents that you represent, and then if you say something enough times, someone's going to believe it. So this has turned into something that has become this giant talking point and this focal point that you've repeated to these people. So now they believe it, and they expect you to represent it because you fed it to them in the first place.
You know, and then the other thing too is it's always been the same course of action. You know, they want to force people into having babies out of a bad pregnancy. There's a lot of things that can go wrong, and there's a lot of things that they know during the pregnancy. And in the end, when they force someone to do that, and there's a lot of care that comes in the end, then they don't want anything to do with it. They don't want to put the money into a social program that cares for children that have birth defects and all these other things. They don't want to do that. And so that's become, you know, the answer here. Like I said, it's just appalling. You know, and even today, right, you know, you have the president who basically said, okay, we're going to allow the employers to basically decide that if they have religion or their moral, so to speak, compass says that they don't agree with birth control, that they can take that away from the ladies through their insurance program.
Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, right. They want to roll back that protection in the Affordable Care Act. They did it already?
Yeah, it was supposed to be instituted today, from my understanding.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then the other thing that irritates me about this is a lot of these individuals are not necessarily pro-life, they are pro-birth. And that is something we've talked about for a long time, the fact that they don't feel that you have the right to say yes or no about whether or not you want to have this child, because they don't necessarily know the situation and the circumstances that went around this. And then if you need assistance after said child is born, or you want to give them up for adoption, then they don't want to support that. They don't want to support the social programs that need to be instituted to help these people who were not in a position to have this child in the first place. It's a vicious circle.
And it's basically playing with people's lives, you know, and that's what, you know, and I'm a guessing. I'm not an expert by any means, but I do believe that, you know, some of this, if you will, birth control medicine does a lot more, right?
It does, and
that's birth control, right?
That is one of the things that these people do not realize, that people don't take it just because...
Oh, it's not that they don't realize it. It's that they don't freaking care.
Yeah.
Because we have been... Every woman in the world has been repeating this until they're blue in the face.
Yeah.
And no one seems to listen. There's probably not a single woman on their stupid healthcare section of Congress, whatever they're trying to do, because they're not listening to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And... My biggest problem with this is it's like, if the employer has some kind of stated morality issue and they don't have to even be able to prove that they're any particular type of organization, like, while I still don't agree with the fact that, like, if you are a religious organization, you shouldn't have to do that, I can understand that talking point, at least, or that stance.
Well, you know,
but
as well
this,
as I do, it's about the money.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's about the money. Oh, if I claim I don't believe in this, I don't have to pay for it. Cool. I'm going to do that. I mean, how much more obvious does this have to get? So you're going to deny someone health care, which is what it is. It's health care because, as Brittany just said, it's used for a lot of other things besides not having babies.
Yeah.
Then, you know, oh, I don't feel like paying for that, so you can't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to pay for it yourself.
Next? If someone is maybe somebody's overweight.
Yeah.
And they can say, okay, we're not going to give you health care to help you with your diabetes or anything
That's
else.
That's exactly
until, you know,
the point I was just going to make.
Unless you can show that you can lose 100 pounds.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And we all know that's not a given for anybody.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that's the bigger part. And to hide it behind the, you know, God is
particularly It's cowardly. Wrong. It's cowardly.
Exactly.
All right, guys, we need to take a quick break.
Cool down a little.
Take
maybe.
A deep breath.
All right, guys. We are out of time for this segment. We need to take a quick commercial break. But we'll be right back, so stay tuned and don't go anywhere because this conversation is going to continue. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman and Buck Gino, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
New York City is getting some federal help to eliminate its backlog of untested rape kits. The Justice Department's Sexual Assault Kit Initiative is distributing $34 million to 20 jurisdictions around the country. The grants will help test kits that have often sat in evidence lockers for years, prosecute those identified by DNA analysis, and keep victims informed. Ilsa Connect with the Joyful Heart Foundation, which advocates for rape kit reform, says this is the third year the initiative has provided critical assistance for cities across the nation.
It's much needed support for communities as they do this work to get all the kits off the shelf and get them tested. To bring healing and justice to survivors and to take really dangerous offenders off the streets.
New York City is receiving more than $2 million to help process untested rape kits. A statewide audit identified almost 2,000 kits that have not been processed. Some states have backlogs of more than 10,000 untested rape kits. Connect says any backlog represents a failure of the criminal justice system to prioritize sexual assaults.
This means not putting enough resources into testing rape kits, into personnel and sex crimes units, and even prosecutors that are trained to take these cases to court.
In 1999, New York City alone had a backlog of almost 17,000 untested kits. By 2003, that backlog had been cleared, finding more than 2,000 matches in the National DNA database, leading to 200 arrests. While the federal aid is important, Connect points out that committing to the timely processing of rape kits is ultimately an issue that the states must deal with.
That needs to be in law to make sure that that is something that survivors can count on, that no matter where they live, no matter what their zip code is, they're going to get the same response statewide.
Under a New York state law passed last year, all rape kits collected in the state must be submitted to a lab within 10 days, with results due in 90 days. For New York News Connection, I'm Andrea Sears.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone.
I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Allison is perfect. I mean, she'd never tell you that. She's humble and perfect. She likes everyone. She even likes her untidy roommate's weird guinea pig. Allison, wait, are you texting and driving? Allison, no. That's the exact opposite of what I was just saying about you. Why, Allison, why? Texting and driving makes good people look bad. Visit StopTextStopRex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
It's great to be here with you, Brittany. Thanks for yelling and screaming about politics with me this afternoon.
You're welcome. If you guys couldn't tell, I'm a little riled up, and this has been kind of pent up for a couple of days because of I've just been waiting to just unleash.
And poor Buck is joining us today.
Oh no, it's great. Oh. You know, one of the things before the break, you know, the other thing we didn't even talk about so much is, you know, they don't even mention things as incest and rape.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very true.
It's really just amazing how they decide how, you know, they want to control everybody's life. It's really sad. I just don't think that and I don't know where it comes from. Maybe you guys could help me. I don't think it's really a solid majority of people that are against a woman's choice. I just don't.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think they just kind of like hide behind the whole religious thing. I mean, I'm not Catholic, mm-hmm. so I can't really say I had that sort of browbeating as a child, but
right.
I just don't, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, that even said, I'm not a huge religious person. I mean, yeah, I'm Presbyterian. I go to church every once in a while. I'm not like, and I'm just open about it. I'm not really just a huge religious thing, but I also don't believe that my religion should dictate my personal beliefs about my own body.
Right.
Or anyone else's.
Yeah, or anyone else's. Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to believe that abortion is wrong. It's another thing to shove your opinion down someone else's throat and force them to do something with their body because you think it's the right thing
right.
to do.
Exactly.
Especially when you don't know the personal circumstances of what happened to that person or what they're going through.
Exactly.
That's my biggest gripe about that, is you don't know what's going on in that person's life. You don't know what they've been through, and you don't know what was necessarily done to them. Maybe this wasn't their choice. Maybe they didn't have control of the situation. Why are you punishing them for this?
You know, and then the guy, you know, you look back and you look at some of the comments. I was remembering a candidate for Senate in Missouri. I remember his big deal was that, you know, a woman can turn it off or shut it. She doesn't have to necessarily get pregnant if she's raped. You know, and they say things like that, and, you know, it's hard to fathom. You know, they really believe this stuff. You know, and
do they, though? Do they really?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you go around, like, not understanding basic biology and make statements like that?
Well, that's you're right. You're
See,
right. To
that could lead back into what Mr. Murphy has just so eloquently accidentally exposed to us, the fact that, you know, they say things but they don't necessarily believe it. It's literally just a talking point
written by someone else.
Written by someone else.
Which leads me to the question, are elected officials actually in charge, or is it really the staffers that they have hired?
Ooh, that's a valid point. That is
a
very valid point.
In a lot of cases, it's the staffers.
That's true. I mean, in our experience of trying to get a hold of an elected official, nine
right.
times out of 10, we talk to a staffer, and that staffer is the one who really knows what's going on with everyone, because there are a lot of us trying to talk to this one individual person. So yes, of course,
right.
for sanity's sake and for organizational sake, you're going to have someone else or a team of people fielding, you know, phone calls, letters, emails, faxes, things of that nature, and you're going to come together. You might run a couple things past, like, your congressman or the senator to get, like, a basis of, okay, where do you want to stand on this, or this is where we advise you to stand. But I would probably say most of these statements aren't sat down and handwritten by these individuals. I'm sure they signed off on it, they read it, they're like, okay, that sounds good, that sounds like, you know, what I wanted to say.
Just because they signed off on it doesn't necessarily mean that they read it, though. We've also learned that one.
Oh, yes, we have, actually. That is another very good point.
You know, I've always argued, you know, we've been having this ongoing discussion about women's rights as per se to bearing a child for a long time. And I can remember it wasn't too long ago, George W. Bush was the president. The Republicans had control of the Senate. The Republicans had control of the House. And there never was a whisper of basically overturning Roe v. Wade. So it's really important to them, not so much the actual discussion, but it's more important for them to always have it on the table to basically pull on the heartstrings of the religious right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they do it. I mean, they don't think they ever want to change it, really.
I think that they use it as a talking point because they feel like they need a drum to beat on, because right now things are not going too well for them.
No.
So I think that they kind of just latched on to this because they can.
So does your representative, did he resign, or is he just going to basically stay till his term's over?
So he initially made the announcement after this broke, like a couple hours afterwards, that he was not going to seek re-election. And then 24 hours later, he issued a statement saying that he was resigning as of, I think, October 21st. So he's got like a couple more weeks here, probably just to kind of like tie up a couple loose ends for them to figure out logistically, like what is it that they have to do? What are they going to do? But yeah, he's resigning over this.
Good. So then you'll have to have a special election, or?
Actually, I was wondering that. I was trying to figure out, I'm starting to do some preliminary research. Maybe someone else out there knows what would be the protocol here.
In their case, it would be a special election. But in the case of a U.S. senator, then they basically the governor of the state appoints. But I don't think that's the case with a rep. I could be wrong.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to look into this because that's actually something I was wondering, too. Are they going to have to pull someone for a special election, or like how is this going to be handled? Because he was up for election next year, so...
Right.
We've got like a year or so here of actually just shy of just over a year of trying to figure out what would we have to do, because that's a long time for someone not to be in that seat. So there's definitely, I'm sure, a protocol.
Exactly.
We just got to figure that out.
Yeah. So, well,
I'm very interested to see what happens.
It's just like I said, it's just I can't believe that with all the things going on in the world and the country that they focus in on this.
Yeah, and it's also interesting to see how this is going to be handled, because this is one of the districts that actually had a couple challengers, from my understanding, from the Democratic side. Because the past three terms, from 2 to 3 terms, I can't remember the exact number here, that I had read, he was unopposed. He ran unopposed. Nobody tried to unseat him. And then this term, since we've seen this kind of like uptick of people pushing for change, it's interesting.
Right.
There's, I know one person for sure, but supposedly there are two other people also either in the race, or I guess rumored to be throwing their hat in the race on the Democratic side for the seat. This is the first time he was running opposed in a couple election cycles here. So this is also interesting to see what happens here. If they have a special election, what they do, how they handle this, because this was going to be a contested seat anyways in a couple of months.
Right. So, well, hopefully you can get someone in there more like-thinking than that person.
I hope so.
I think we might have a shot at this point.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, and it's very important that we don't waste the opportunity either.
Yeah,
that's
agreed.
The important part.
Well, we are almost out of time. Who are you bringing with you at 2:30?
I do. I have John Rurink with the Michigan Information and Resource Service. We're going to talk a little bit about, in Michigan, the top cop for the state police is heavily under fire for comments she made basically about the NFL football players and what's going on, and then we'll talk about perhaps what's going on politically in Michigan.
Ooh, more controversy.
Sounds great.
This is a feisty day, guys.
Yep, I like it.
All right, guys, that was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. He will be coming back at 2:30 with John Ruring, so stay tuned, guys. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.